Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Remodeling Reinvented. I'm your host, Caitlin Copley, joined, as always, by my amazing producer, Diana Volker. Today, we're discussing one of our favorite topics, the 2026 design trends. Every year, Jackson Design and Remodeling's award-winning designers and architects create a trend report based on what they're seeing in client projects, along with inspiration from fashion and cultural influences. This year's theme for 2026 is all about individuality, authentic comfort, and designing a home that is inspired with your own personal style. To help break it all down, we're joined by two of Jackson Design and Remodeling's incredibly talented senior interior designers, Gabe Sepulveda and Leah Wade, who helped shape this year's predictions. We're talking about self-expression, vintage influences, and much more. We hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you, Leah and Gabe, for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk about the 2026 design trends. So why do you think self-expression has become such a driving force in design right now?
So I feel like in the last couple of years, people are very attached or very involved in their media circles. Titan, for example, my sister is one of those. And I feel like they're very engaged with media, you know, via TikTok or Instagram. And I think that sometimes people want to recreate what they see online and want to try to incorporate some of those trends into their own homes. So I feel like a lot of people want their own Instagram moment in their homes. They want to feel that this is the space where I'm going to make it my own and I'm going to post or I'm going to engage and within that space. So I think that's probably one of the reasons.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I know there's all kinds of forces that can help shape those trends. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about some of those macro forces, whether it's sustainability or tech or wellness? Or
yeah, I feel like wellness has become a huge impact on people's homes. So again, what they see on social media, they're influenced by that and want to see that in their home. So it's translated in different ways for everyone.
Yeah.
But having a zen or wellness space, a sauna, a steam unit in the homes, I feel like it's become a lot more popular.
Right.
I feel that people want to recreate some of the experiences that they have when they go and explore. Maybe they were in a hotel or a spa, and they just want to take some of that home and feel that, hey, you know, now that I'm thinking about redoing my bathroom, in this case, for example, they want to recreate that. And we've seen lately an increase of someone wants to do maybe a steam shower. Or like in the case in the last few years, I have like three occasions where we've done both like a steam and a sauna within the same bathroom or the same suite. So I feel like people want to connect and on their own time. People have different schedules, so they don't want to be bound to, hey, this is a spa schedule or this is a gym schedule. And they want to do it in their own privacy. So I think that we've seen that a lot in the last couple of years. I certainly experience that at least once a year.
Yeah.
I have a project that incorporates either one or the other or both.
Well, and you mentioned tech earlier. So maybe people feel like because they're attached to their phone, they're looking at Instagram, they're looking, scrolling through social media, you want your home to be a place where you can unwind from some of that distraction and noise. Do you feel like people need some spaces where they can unwind and rejuvenate?
Yeah, I feel like that leans towards why people are now wanting those items in their home is because they want to feel comfortable in their own space and be able to get those hotel or spa-like things in the house.
Yeah, I think that sometimes disconnect means different things for different people. And some people, it doesn't necessarily mean to be away from everything and everyone. It just means personal moment, personal experience with your house.
You're right. You're right. Everybody's different. That is part of the theme. It's like, what's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
You know, if you're more of a high-tech person, maybe you want your whole home to be a smart home and incorporating that. How do you decide when a trend comes up? How do you decide whether you think it's going to be a long-term, maybe more of a classic type of trend versus short-term trend? What do you think differentiates those two types of trends, in your opinion?
Well, in my case, my opinion is that when COVID happened, like people wanted to be together. And then so people start to think about, hey, how can we open those spaces? So the family can be with each other and connecting with each other. And then I believe maybe in 2022, 23, people thought that we were going to go back into not having those spaces. But I don't think that ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone wants to be always connected and always involved. And spaces have been transformed, like in the kitchen. Maybe we don't have our traditional desk that we used to have 20, 25 years ago. But maybe we have things that are available for us. Connectivity, and then people just want to still be involved. And I don't think I have seen a client in the last few years that wants to go back and not be connected. I think everyone wants to be involved and connected. I don't think that we're going to go back for a while where spaces have to be confined and not connecting with each other.
Yeah, I feel like the trends that seem to stick around longer are more of a function. Versus like a color or a specific material.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we uncover a new solution to a problem or something that's more functional, those tend to stay.
So it's really things that affect just their day-to-day functionality of how they live. And maybe as a society, we've gone in a different direction than maybe 30 years ago. So that's why the trends have kind of changed when it comes to some of the functionality, like open concept floor plans we see a lot versus
or communal,
right? Versus like a specific look or product. Like at one point, barn doors were the hot thing, you know. So that's a good explanation. So I know, Gabe, you mentioned aging in place is something you've noticed a lot of. Have you guys noticed rise in designing around that whole aging in place thing when maybe a family member has to move in? Have you seen an increase in that?
Yes. I believe usually when the client is probably maybe around 50 or more, they either have a parent that is aging or they think themselves, this is where I'm going to be until they carry me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always ask clients, is this the place where you're going to be until you go to the next phase? And if they say yes, that sometimes we establish a conversation, hey, maybe you should invest a little bit more in this, or maybe change their perception. Sometimes people want that big Viking or Wolf stove, but then they're like, okay, you know, you're already in your 60s. You really want to bend over all the time? Should we just maybe giving you maybe like a professional range top and maybe some wall opens and kind of give you that look?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I see it often, and especially the baby boomer population is our largest,
right?
So they're at the phase where they're needing those accommodations, or their kids are going to be planning to move them into their homes, or they're taking long extended stays. So I would say in most homes that I'm touching a couple bathrooms in, one of them at least has an ADA accessible shower and the doors are large enough.
Yeah.
You have the extra room around just in case there is a wheelchair or a walker. So it's very common now.
Yeah.
And vendors, I feel like, see that also. So grab bars don't look like they used to look. Like, it doesn't have to be just a stainless steel, like this huge hospital type grab bar. Like, they've updated that look.
So they're also adapting. And then you have more choices, or the homeowners have more choices, and you can guide them towards that.
Yeah, I think that 25 years ago, it was only stainless steel, maybe chrome.
Mm-hmm.
These days, every vendor, you can get them in brass right now. You can get them in black. I have one bathroom right now that is Venetian bronze.
Ooh.
This is a Spanish revival home. And we can get them in Venetian brass.
Wow.
So I think that all the vendors are kind of at that. It's because it's a very big part of the population.
Yeah. So I wanted to get into the trends a little bit. But before we start, Gabe, I know you had the opportunity earlier this year to judge the Kitchen Bath Design News Awards. And was there anything you noticed while judging those as far as trends that are emerging?
I saw some trends or some desires to maybe establish trends. And I think was like what you mentioned before, self-expression. The bathrooms, especially like powder rooms, the ones that were rewarded were the ones that took the most risk. Like we rewarded a bathroom that had a curtain, drapery curtain type, dividing between the toilet and the vanity. So I thought to myself, I don't think I will ever think about doing that, but it was there. And it looked very, very luxurious and very catchy. I think that we want that expression these days on those particular, especially like a powder room. And that's just the way I try to have my clients think. Some of them will take the leap of faith and other ones are still like very cautious. Oh, we don't want to do something that I will be out of trend in 10 years. But it could be just as easy as being bold with maybe wallpaper and things that you could probably swap in 10 years. Mm. But I saw that. And I saw it also in the kitchen. There was one kitchen that belonged to the Florida market. And that one was rewarded because it looked bold. It looked like it belonged to that part of the country.
Okay.
And to me, it was really rewarded because of the bold pattern choices, the color of the kitchens. Obviously, the same kitchen maybe wouldn't work in a different market, like a pre-war building in New York. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, because where it was, and I think that they were willing to reward people that were making bold choices. But that doesn't take away from if they see something classic.
Okay. Well, I think let's jump into some of these trends. So talking a little bit about self-expression, what are some of those creative or personal choices that you've seen clients make recently or in some of the projects that you've done or seen?
I feel like now, kind of like what Gabe was talking about, how some of the bathrooms are overstated and lots of, you know, different materials and textures, people are looking for more of a curated look in their homes. Mm-hmm. So they are willing to kind of mix styles just a little bit. Like maybe they have something from the past or their family that they want to integrate in. And so it creates kind of this more layered look in the home.
Yeah.
And I think people are becoming a little bit more brave with that. Yeah. Because we were kind of in this very minimalist stage of the whites and the grays. Mm. And I think now people are willing to introduce more personality into. It's easier to do it in smaller spaces like bathrooms or bedrooms. It is stepping out further into more of the living spaces.
So they are taking a little bit more risk in maybe small ways. And you brought up one of the other emerging trends, which is how vintage meets modern. And we're seeing tons of that, like whether it's Art Deco, mid-century modern. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? And I know you touched on it just with people incorporating heirlooms or things passed down in their family.
Yeah. And again, I feel like people see a lot of this on social media because that's kind of the way the hotel and restaurant industry mm-hmm. has been going. So we had talked about like the Lafayette Hotel.
Yeah.
So it is overstated and materials and patterns and it somehow all works. It doesn't feel too aggressive. So yeah, I think that influence has translated into the home of like something very curated, but it still feels comfortable. It doesn't feel overdone. Yeah. It's not too over the top. It can be in a super high-end home or like your normal
home. Like what are some parts of the home where someone could incorporate some of those more bold elements? Could it be a bar?
Yeah, I feel like in bars is where I see it. Powder bathrooms.
Bathroom.
Offices.
Oh, offices. That's a good point.
A good one.
So you can play with the lighting and...
The other thing is that I read, and actually I didn't realize that I experienced lately, is that it's hard to find furniture that is well-made, that you feel like it was, like Leah was mentioning, curated in a sense. It's hard to find furniture that is really well-made or well-designed. And this is why some people are going back to that. Hey, can we incorporate a curio cabinet, for example, maybe a table, a console table that you feel like, hey, you know that this is not from this decade.
Yeah.
But it's also a statement piece and it's also well made, well constructed. It doesn't really matter. We have to refinish it. But I think that people are yearning for that sense of craftsmanship.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist too much these days.
It's that they don't make them like this anymore.
Right.
The other thing I was thinking about, for the last few years, we have been references like Japan, for example. And I thought that maybe that was just not going to be the case anymore. But I think that it's still such a strong, because it just makes these pops of rich colors. It's like the blues, the greens, maybe even the yellows and orange with some sort of natural wood or wood materials. People are going away from just the white. And I think it's because sometimes people are afraid of doing something that is going to be out of style.
And you can like balance those two. So someone wants white, they could do white in a section and then maybe take a risk somewhere else.
Yes. And again, like one of the recent kitchens I'm photographed this year, the classical sort of French look on the white cabinetry mixed with the brass. And then something that she didn't expect, that I sort of leaned her into going with walnut for the island. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing cannot look any better.
Beautiful. So Pantone just released their color of the year. It's called Dancing Clouds. It's caused quite the debate online. I've read tons of articles on it. Do you all have any thoughts about it? It's supposed to be a symbol of calming influence in a society rediscovering the value of quiet reflection. So that's what they said. What are your thoughts?
I think that, to me, white is the absence of color. So to me, and that's just the truth, black is all colors combined. White, I mean, shades of white will always be something that maybe you perceive as calming. That's why we use it in galleries, for example, as a background, so that everything else come true and shine. But, and maybe, again, let's move over away from the white cabinetry. I feel that, to me, it's just the absence of everything else. So what are we going towards if it's not expression? And now we try to, like, I think Leah wants to get away from the blues. I love the greens right now.
All right. Well, let's move on. I wanted to ask, do you have any micro trends that are emerging that you haven't seen a lot of, but you've seen things that you've used in projects, or I think you mentioned docking drawers.
So yeah, we had talked about having electrical inside cabinets have kind of always been a thing, but the use of using the actual docking drawer has become a lot more popular. People are asking for them on the front end. So it's less of an afterthought to have a docking space. I mean, I've done it in a closet, in a bar, in a kitchen, a space for where they're, whether it's charging the phones or the headphones, iPads, just having that accessible and not on the countertops.
Less clutter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All wires are inside.
I love that.
Too, like by the vanities.
Yeah.
Now they're designed with canisters for you to put your hair dryer.
Yes.
And smart. And then this goes back to what we talked, maybe I mentioned earlier about how we don't have desks anymore in the kitchen, but we still want the accessibility, and having this stuck in drawers is just a way of you charging your devices. Maybe that's where you leave your iPad overnight and things like that. And then you come back and you resume. So I think that I see it in the last 2 years, but before maybe one project a year, but now I would say I have it in at least half of my project is somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe in the bathroom. Yeah. But most likely it's usually in that kitchen drawer.
Mm-hmm.
And more people are doing the bathroom because they don't want to leave their hair dryers around.
Yeah.
So it's a way to organize itself.
I need one of those.
But yeah.
Yeah. Take one. Yeah. I feel like it's probably like 75% of projects. And now they're mentioning it before I'm saying, hey.
Yeah.
Have you thought about this?
Okay. So they're already. Yeah.
I think another one is just the use of LED lighting, LED accent lighting. And now cabinet companies are coming in your everyday cabinet. You open a regular cabinet and there it is. So that's something that I believe, just because it has become more economical.
Yeah.
And I hope that I can incorporate more, because people just see it maybe underneath the counter. But now in toe kicks, inside cabinets, and for example, I have a project right now where we have a reeded panel behind the island, and we put one over there just to kind of like accentuate the texture on that wall.
Yeah.
But I wish that we can use more because it's just so much fun and it can just elevate the design if we are able to incorporate. Yeah.
That's nice on the reading too, like kind of a shadow on it.
Yeah. Leia, I know Gabe had touched on color a little bit. You had mentioned when we were talking earlier, you've seen a little bit more green lately, or you're a fan of it. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of requests now is to move into more of the green tones.
Yeah.
Like kind of the greens and yellows. Of course, blue is still relevant.
Yeah.
It's all right, Gabe. But I'm seeing it and liking the green a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like the green mixed with the warm natural wood tones.
Yes.
I think also because when you choose a green for the home, people typically go towards like a forest dark green or like a soft sage green. So it's easier to not mess that up. Where blue, it's like there's such a wide range.
And that's true, right.
It's just the wrong one.
Yeah.
So if it's the right blue, I feel like it totally works. But with green, it's like typically you pick the right one.
Well, good, because I'm painting my bedroom next year. That's a green color, light sage green. So hopefully I don't mess it up.
I remember in the early 2000s doing two islands, and one was sage green and one was black. But it was in a time where cabinets were distressed and overdone and columns and pilasters everywhere and triple crown. But I think these days, some of these Asian influences, like maybe again going back to the Japan, green is one of their favorite colors. But now these days, I hope that we can go more in frame with natural tone colors, even if it's walnut and the white
oak. Mushroom color.
Exactly. Colors. Yes.
And even incorporating like flooring that can accent that.
But one of the trends that I've been seeing lately is going back to those materials that were from 50 or 60 years ago, like the terrazzo. And then sometimes we incorporate those colors. Now you can get terrazzo in all kinds, even porcelain tile that tried to imitate terrazzo. And I think that sometimes we pick on those tones, if it has little hints of green.
Yeah.
You can take that and then use that green in your bathroom and your kitchen to sort of bring the whole thing together.
You're right. That's a nice way of bringing that element in, which is great. You touched on it a little bit, but one of the trends we have listed is authentic design, meaning raw woods, things that are organic, handmade, artisan type of cabinetry. Have you seen that emerge a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to trying to create more like dimension in the space where it's not all just flat white painted cabinetry or vanity. There is a lot of interest in the materials. And then also maybe it's, you know, yearning for something that's a higher quality product, whatever it is. But again, just that combination.
I think that people are looking for pieces that look well made and well designed. And I have to say that even when I'm trying to help people shopping for furniture, it's kind of hard these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you mentioned something about going with Art Deco and people maybe going back. I think people that geometry, it's really popular also in the last couple of years. And I feel that people, when they're looking at those things, they may still be yearning for the kind of furniture that goes along with, but also you don't find it anymore. You can buy it.
Yeah. And it seems like things like texture, whether it's 3D tile or sculptural type of tile, have you seen a little bit more of that lately or even paneling?
Yeah, I feel like that slatted type, whether it's, reading in the cabinets or the tile or the wood slats on the walls, has become really popular.
Yeah.
All in different materials. Like you can do it in a natural stone or it can be a wood. So I'm seeing a lot of interest in some materials that have more texture to them. And I feel like tiles too, they've gotten really good at creating tiles that have movement to them.
Yeah.
I feel like it helps people who are nervous of making this step to being a little bit more bold, they can take it's a beige color tile, but it has movement to it. So it feels like it gives it interest. Having a bright green tile in the bathroom, they can create that feeling with the movement of it.
And it helps create an interest and dimension to it.
Like having two things in one.
And I started noticing it a lot more, whether I'm at a restaurant or a hotel or something.
I think it started it with maybe those accent walls that also serve as an acoustical wall. So you see that very linear pieces of wood. And then I think it transformed into going back to like read it. But also an elements like fluted, like we used to do fluted columns 25 years ago. But now it's being used in a different way, like working with vanities that are made of that fluted look. And it just sort of kind of looks rich and give you that texture. And then you can be bold on the other materials like the countertops. So I also see a lot that we're going with countertops, especially in vanities that are tall and bold. Sometimes people are afraid to make a statement, but I think that people will be making a mistake not to.
Mm-hmm.
Because a powder room will be the least expensive bathroom to remodel in a house, but then you can make it your own.
Yeah.
And I think that some people may be realizing that, hey, just because I don't want to take a risk, or I want to be cautious or conscious about if I'm going to sell the house, or 20 years later, then you miss the opportunity. So.
And that brought up our next topic, which is how homeowners can bring some of these trends into their homes. Do you want to just talk a little bit about that?
I think a fireplace is a good place for you to take a bold statement. Having floating cabinetry or pyramid minimal, the traditional way of doing a fireplace is, so you have your fireplace, you have your mantle, and then you have your bookcases left and right. Well, I don't think that that's the way we're doing it anymore.
No.
I'm working a project right now when we're doing benches to the left and to the right.
Okay.
Then we're paneling in, we put a big mirror behind, we put in wall sconces. But we're traditionally we will have just a bookcase, but this is not the case in this particular case. And that comes back to being individualism. And we're talking to the client says, oh, I picture my kids just reading a book in that bench, and here I am sitting in the living room and I'm looking towards that wall and I can just imagine them sitting there and reading. So
that's nice.
That's just a way, and that's fun. I mentioned before the powder rooms, and I like to be very expressive on the kitchen hood. And sometimes it's hard to convince someone because that's the part that you're really, really going to see all the time. You can just do something custom in the hood and then just having your own touch. And I see some of your hoods still being very expressive.
Yeah, I feel like also like faux finishing and plaster have become, I do it a lot of my projects, whether it's the hood above the fireplace, an accent wall behind the TV, a lot in the bedrooms. And there's different applications, like it can be a real plaster, a faux, a lime wash. You can even do it in the shower now.
That I've seen.
So it's really seamless throughout the whole bathroom. Or I have like a client right now, we have spaces in the home that it's just the ceilings are so tall, so it feels really empty.
Yeah.
And so we're doing, it's like a mural, but it's made out of plaster. So it's the same, it's essentially the same color as the walls, but it's giving the dimension. And then we're putting the LED strip. So it's casting the right shadow on that wall, so it's creating the dimension and interest in that space without having to go all out on the kitchen cabinets or the countertop. It's like those accent art pieces.
So there's opportunities a lot you see as a designer where people can create focal points in a subtle way that wouldn't be super distracting to the rest of the design.
Yeah, because especially in the main living spaces, depending on who it is and what their interest is in style, but a lot of people are coming out of wanting the minimalists and wanting a little bit more. So having like one hero in the room and speaks really loudly, like the hood, or it's the chandelier, or maybe it's just the island countertop, those would be good places to incorporate a little bit more personality.
Okay.
In room so it doesn't feel overstayed
too much.
Right. I think those are some great tips. And you bring up an interesting point. So, Gabe, you had mentioned with the rising influence of AI technologies. Do you want to talk a little bit about why you believe that interior designers are still relevant and why homeowners benefit so much from working with a designer?
Yeah. I think that we have a lot of people that are self-taught interior designers. And I think that fell a little bit like last year. I'm like, oh, is this what's going to replace us? And I realized that for now, it really isn't. It's just another tool to sometimes help people visualize a space. But the AI, it cannot take the human effect, the human emotion, and what an individual person want to convey in their kitchen. It also doesn't take in consideration different parties, you know. What is the husband or the wife wants? So it cannot really take all of that in consideration. I think in terms of renderings, it's coming along pretty good, pretty fast, but it still feels very, very fake. You know, we can do photorealistic renderings with different tools that we have at our disposal, and we do it all day, but they're not really AI generated because we input our own touches in it.
Different elements.
Oh, yeah, data elements. You know, I like to go ahead and people like paintings or pictures. Sometimes I like to incorporate those paintings, those pictures. You know, I have a client that had a collection of helmets, so we were, you know, we a nerd, so we kind of incorporate some of that in some of the renderings. And also just overall color palette. Like, we can have our own influence and help the client and what touches. I don't think that AI is ready to replace us. And I don't think it ever will, because some people really, they need the help. And maybe they don't know what they like, but they definitely sometimes know what they don't like.
Right.
And we're still going to be relevant. I think the tools are going to be there to help us and as a helping tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's very conceptual. It is a great tool, but AI gives you what you tell it.
Yeah.
Whereas a designer speaking to a client, you may see something that they're not saying and
yes.
able to incorporate that. So for now, I mean, yeah, conceptually it can be helpful, but that human connection, I feel like you can't really replace that.
You're right. I think we've covered a lot. It's time for our quick fire round.
Ooh.
Diana, are you ready?
Leah, I'm going to start with you.
Well, so what would you say is the most underrated design detail homeowners forget about? Just blank out on it.
I feel like lighting and sound, tends to be an afterthought. But it creates an experience at your home if you have the right lighting, if you have the capability to and budget to do more of like a Lutron or Ketra system that you can control all of your lights separately. You have a way to say party mode, and then it creates that feeling with your lighting as well as the sound.
There's a lot of tech too involved in there.
Yeah.
What is one trend you'll never personally give up?
Personal.
This is, I feel like, came in the past couple years, is the countertop up the backsplash.
Oh, yeah.
I personally love to see that in homes. I think that the tile does create more of dimension in certain spaces, but I think that that's one newer trend that I'm really liking.
Yeah.
I like that look. It's cohesive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super easy to clean.
And this last one is something I'm going to ask the both of you, but what's a trend you secretly love but wouldn't admit until now?
I feel like this one, I didn't really care for until recently, but color drenching rooms, really love.
Oh.
If it's in the right space, like in an office, where your doors, your baseboards, your molding, your trim, your window casing, ceiling, everything is the same color, especially when it's in like a moodier color. So even if you had a separate bar or movie space, I just really love that feeling walking into a room like that.
Yeah, you're right. Cool. That was one of the trends from last year. And I have been seeing it on Pinterest and in different places.
I've done it where it is that like dark forest or burgundy color, but then also like right now I have it in a lighter color. It is a green, but it's just all the walls, the she's got like the beadboard and the chair rail, all of it is that one color.
Gabe, are you ready?
Yes.
You're in the hot seat.
I know. What color are you obsessed with going into 2026? We know it's not white, but.
I mean, I'm not going to tie myself to just a particular color, but I've been enjoying a lot working with some greens and also some like salmon.
Oh, salmon?
Salmon.
You know, that muted color that I feel that it could just go nicely in a powder room.
Wow.
And combined with some rich woods like walnut or maybe some medium stained oak, I feel like it's just the right color for some, you know. But right now, I see myself, like even just now recently, doing green in a shower. And it sounds like, oh, you're very brave. But I just feel like before we research some of those for like a wall paint, you know, background or things like that. But I think I like that a lot lately.
Nice. All right. Well, what is the most underrated design detail homeowners forget about?
Well, I'm always, and I think I mentioned this to you guys, the gals, that I'm very a fan of a lighting and sometimes how it's just in the bottom of things, like, oh, cabinetry, appliances, countertops, and things like that. But I'm very, very passionate about lighting.
It's coming through.
And something about self-expression. The right lighting fixture can just bring a whole room together.
Right.
And can bring a color palette together, but it can just, yeah. I mean, I like, surprise for you guys, I like drama.
So way.
It's just a lot. This is something that you are going to see every single day. So why not? Mm-hmm. Why not having that light fixture that is going to give you excitement and again, going to be individual.
Yeah.
Why did you have to be like anybody else? So that's one of the things that I like the most. I love lighting and the layers of lighting.
Right.
You know, hey, you know, we can be intimate, we can be, and yeah, it's not flood the space with lighting. It's just having the two, three different layers of lighting and have it take presence and center stage depends on the mood and depends on the purpose, you know.
Yeah. So, changes the space, yes. Changes the feeling of full room. So for you, what is a trend that you secretly love but wouldn't admit until now?
I mean, there's no something that I like that I'm not vocal about it or try to express and try to establish. I feel like I want every room to have its own focal point.
Yeah.
Can maybe, you know, fireplace mantle, or maybe the hood in the kitchen, or maybe the wallpaper in the powder room, or maybe a bathtub in the primary suite. But I like every room to have a drama element. And sometimes it's hard because people are afraid or they want to be understated. But I think that right now, I feel like people are going very classical and very minimalistic. Mm-hmm. And that we're going in a direction where everything seems curated. And that the right furniture piece, the right lighting, mirror, every room should have their own drama and their own piece that just you're going to say, okay, I went to their powder room and wow,
there's a curtain.
I remember
in there.
This. So I feel like that, it will be my goal to always try to do that. Sometimes, again, it's hard to convince people to go along for the ride, but I think the brave are really rewarded with unique spaces. And those are the ones that I remember the most. So
it's so interesting. Thank you both.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I love the way you
no dancer.
I love the way you both went through everything with us and explained it. I think homeowners will hopefully get some good tips from you all and try to incorporate it into their own homes, whether they're just refreshing their space or maybe considering a remodel in the future. So thank you both so much for sharing your insights.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
This has been fun.
Good.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap on today's episode. If you want to explore the 2026 design trend list, we'll have the full list linked in the episode description, along with a link to our Pinterest board. Be sure to subscribe to Remodeling Reinvented on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. We wish you a happy and healthy new year ahead. Thanks for listening.